Dear God, in the midst of all the hurried preparing that lies ahead for some of us, in the midst of the busyness, maybe the last cards to be signed and mailed, gifts to be purchased, wrapped, and sent, in the midst of all the expectations we set for ourselves and others this week of Christmas, give us a quiet moment or two so we can hear the singing of the angels. Startle us again, O God, with news of love's birth in Bethlehem. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So here at Church of the Resurrection, during the season of Advent, we have been reminding ourselves of great figures in Scripture. We have looked at them as examples of how to, looking at them, how they prepared for the birth of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And we remind ourselves of these great figures to show us how to live, how to prepare for his coming again, as well as to remember him being born a baby in the manger. All of this so that when he does come again, we are ready, that Jesus will find us waiting in awe and wonder. And so this morning, I'm going to speak just briefly because we've had more time together in the opening session of our service. I will speak, but just briefly. And I want to look at our gospel reading together. And I've got this because I want to hear from you. So, if you could open up your Bibles, and if you want to use a pew Bible, we're at Luke chapter 1. Beginning at verse 39, and if you're using a pew Bible, it's page 944. But before we get there, over the past 4 weeks, I'm interested to know from you, which of the figures that we've looked at together, we've heard about from the Gospels, which figures have stayed with you? Which figures have resonated with you? And maybe a bit of why. Did I hear somebody over here? Okay, hold on. Say your name and then say what you have to say.
Hi, my name is Ute, and the story of Joseph really stuck with me. It was a great performance, and it was so real. It was like, it totally spoke to my whole life, and all these things that happen in life that aren't supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And that is what I could identify with.
Thanks.
Most.
Thanks, Ute. Anyone else? Debbie?
I'm Debbie. For me, it was Simeon and Anna, because they, although they had waited their entire lives, what they were looking for didn't become less clear and more confused. It stayed as clear as ever, so much so that they knew Jesus the moment they saw him.
Sorry, there's sun, so I can't see everybody.
Yes, Mary.
Say
Sherry.
Your name first.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I'm Sherry. I guess it would be Mary because what she would have had to go through, go against what other people might have said, and just say, "This is what's happening to me," and to have faith that God would come through, because that could have been a different situation for her if Joseph was different. So
absolutely, or if she was different.
She was different.
So for me, it was week 2, and that was John the Baptist, and it was actually the visual of that bowl and the different things going in that water. And for me, it was, I think often when I think of John the Baptist and I think of sin and repentance, I'm not thinking of the good things. And I was thinking of those little kids and those gummy worms. And I thought, am I willing to remove the gummy worms in my life to allow space for God to do what he wants to do? And so that was a really interesting new way for me to think about John in that way, that there are some good things that need to be removed so that I can enjoy and embrace what God is doing.
Anyone else? Thank you. Well, so I remember we have Simeon and Anna watching and waiting. and John the Baptist letting things go and making room for Jesus thundering in the desert, and Joseph surprised and unsettled, but learning to trust, and Elizabeth and Mary, here we have them today, and we'll talk about them, but how they helped each other to believe, and how they find themselves connected into something that's much bigger than their own life story. And so here we have Elizabeth and Mary. I'm really interested, if you look with me, just casting your eye through the opening portions of Luke's gospel from the beginning of chapter 1. I really feel like the tone is a quiet tone. It feels like it's very contained. And by the time we reach today's reading, Elizabeth and Mary actually have already appeared in Luke's account, so it's not their first appearance. And some amazing things happen, and yet the people that they happen to stay pretty hushed. So, for example, Elizabeth, an old lady, she finds herself pregnant, and she hides herself away for 5 months as she kind of holds on to this miracle of becoming pregnant. And then her husband, Zechariah, a priest in the temple, unable to speak because he has doubted what God has told him in the temple. So all this time, while he waits for the birth of his child and beyond the birth of the child, is silent. So again, kind of quiet and hushed. And here we have then Mary, who's visited by the angel Gabriel and told some mind-blowing things, bold, startling news. And yet, she makes no public announcements after she hears from Gabriel. Just some quiet responses to what he has to say to her. And I don't know about you, but then it all seems to start bumbling up, and it starts here with Mary and Elizabeth in our passage for today. Now, at the time when Mary was a young woman yet to be married, it would have been completely typical for a young woman to stay in her father's household until she was engaged. You've probably heard this before, right? Until she was married. And if she left home, it would be with a chaperone, right? So leaving home would be very unusual. And yet this woman does something completely different. Once she's visited by Gabriel. And then verse 39. Can someone read verse 39 in loud voice? Come on, don't be shy. I know none of you are shy. Go for it, whoever wants to. Verse 39. Okay, awesome, thank you. So Gabriel visits her, and then off she goes. She hightails it to a town near Jerusalem. Why does she go there? Because she goes to Elizabeth, and Zechariah works in the temple, right? So like any good worker, he lives close, so the commute isn't too far. So he's living close to the temple so he can go and do his work, somewhere in the hill country outside of Jerusalem. Now, do you remember when you were 14? Maybe some of you are 14. How would your parents react as a 14-year-old if you got up, left your house alone, and did not tell anyone, and went on a journey of about 120 kilometers?
It would get messy.
It would get messy. So Dan's mom and dad, totally unreasonable. It would get messy. Anyone else? I don't know if I would have been able to, like, get my stuff packed in my bag when I was 14. Disorganized. So without really doing a big poll, we know that to leave one's home at 14 would be a big deal now, to travel 120 kilometers, right? Parents would worry, et cetera, et cetera. So it would have been at least as shocking for Mary to do that by another major factor, right? Because the culture being where a young woman would stay in the father's compound until she was married, okay? So it would have been a really, really big deal. But I think it helps us to remember that something that Angel Gabriel says to Mary, verse 37, he says, "For no word from God will ever fail or in the translation I was using when I was prepping for it, nothing will be impossible for God. Nothing will be impossible for God. So even Mary doing something completely out of the ordinary, anything would be possible for God. And God is with us. God here is acting in very small ways in the lives of individuals. And God is acting in sin-shattering, death-defeating ways as well. A child leaping in the womb of an elderly woman. The joyful, exuberant shout of the same woman filled with the Holy Spirit. And that child will announce the coming of the Messiah, the need to repent of their sins and turn back to God, because nothing will be impossible for God. And a very young woman, Mary, who has barely started her life at all, she will carry God within her womb. That little baby will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. I'm just rereading what Gabriel said earlier in the chapter. And this very young woman who has barely started her life believes every word that God has said to her. She believes that every word God has said will come true. And so she does get ready and hurries to this town to see her cousin. Nothing will be impossible for God. So the elderly woman, Elizabeth, the very young woman, Mary, they come together and they experience God's presence in the Holy Spirit, and they support each other as they walk the road that God has set before them, as they prepare to welcome the birth of their own babies. God acting in small ways, tiny ways. God acting in sin-shattering, death-defeating ways, all to rescue the world once and for all. And this, my friends, is what we're waiting for. This is the good news that we have to share with our friends, our family, our neighbors. This Advent, this Christmas time, all the time. Amen.